Who were you before you lost your wild self?
That's what we're helping you explore on the Tend Her Wild podcast.
Through questions and tools around how best to listen to your inner voice,
rewild ourselves, and live the most authentic life where we thrive instead of survive.
I'm Betsy.
And I'm Kate.
And we're so glad you've joined us for this episode.
Hello, Tend Her Wild listeners. For season two, we want to hear from you. We want to ask that you email us or call us and leave us a voice message sharing your story, your questions, the topics you want to hear more about, or your thoughts on rewilding and living your authentic life. To reach us, you can email us at tendherwild@gmail.com or call us at 319-354-354. 4062 and leave us a message. We'll even play your question live on our show. Hello, Tend Her Wild podcast listeners. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about the TED Talk that didn't happen.
Dun, dun, dun.
We've been talking about having this episode for a while or sharing with our listeners this process that we went through. And so we are ready today to share that with you and what we've learned from it. And yeah.
It's been a great experience.
It has.
Actually, a hugely informative process for us to go through.
Yeah.
Albeit fairly painful at various
painful at times, like most things in life, right?
Most things in life, exactly.
Things we learn from are usually the hard things, hardest things. So, but let's go back a little bit and kind of share with our listeners where this came from, because it really started with us saying it out loud about.
Yeah, I did not remember this part until you shared it with me this morning as we were sort of prepping. You're like, do you remember we sat here and said we should do a TED Talk?
Yeah, we did.
I don't remember, but you're very clear on it.
I'm very clear on it. And there was a couple other people, like Sean was in the room and a couple of others. And we're like, we're putting it out there.
And then 9 months later, an opportunity.
Ironically, yes.
Manifested. And yeah, that's, we have to pause there because that's not... I believe coincidence. Right. Of course, 9 months is the gestation of an idea into being able to birth it.
Yeah.
So this opportunity in a fairly effortless way came to both of us to do a TED Talk together.
Right.
Which is an uncommon thing. Mostly TED Talks are done by one person. So
we were already kind of,
we were already
out of
kind
the norm.
Of confused about like, is it okay for both of us to be doing this?
Yeah. And we had a lot of early conversations about what it could look like and how we watched some that were two people. And we started down this path of kind of auditioning in a way.
Mm-hmm.
The opportunity came to us. We had to kind of also put our idea.
Show our. And I think even before we came up with a working sort of idea and document, I remember you and I were getting together often on Sunday afternoons. And spending hours like talking, coming up with ideas, whiteboarding things, like making lists. I mean, we really spent so much time trying to hone in on, okay, what have we been doing in this Tend Her Wild podcast that we can distill this process of talking to women, talking about rewilding, talking about finding sort of your essence by getting out of all these boxes we've been conditioned into, like what's our message? And so it took us months hone in on like, how do we sort of encapsulate all these different ideas?
Right. Because we had all sorts of different options on what direction to go and how to.
Yeah. I remember that. We're like, we could take this 100 different ways.
Yeah. And so it was, you know, TED is about sharing ideas. So I think right away we discovered we had a lot of them. We had a lot of ideas.
We had a lot going on.
And figuring out how to distill those down into what we had was 10 minutes, 10 to 12, which is even shorter than the normal 18. was challenging. And so we scrapped a few things. We started
more than a few things. We scrapped a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
And also the idea of TED is that it's a unique perspective. Like this is a new cutting edge perspective that you bring to the table. You're not regurgitating someone else's work. This is like your concept. And so we were really trying to be above board too around, you
what
know,
was ours.
Yeah. What, you know, clearly the idea of rewilding is not our concept. And we have taken a lot of inspiration from the women who run with the wolves, but our process of talking to women and hearing all these stories over the course of a year, almost a year and a half of doing the podcast, we were trying to get clear on like, well, what's our angle? What are we learning from all of this?
And there were so many different lessons, but we did start to see patterns. So I feel like in some of the preparation for this, we tried to hone in on where did we find those similarities? Where were the, you know, consistent themes that we kind of heard? And then what was our unique take going to be on the idea of rewilding for women?
Yeah.
And so it was all summer, Betsy. I mean, how many times?
I remember sitting out in that screened-in porch
Sundays
in the summer working on stuff. Mm-hmm. It was all summer. And so we finally came up with some drafts. We sent it to the committee. We think we got an okay, but we knew we were still in the running. But we'd get comments back and then we would rework it. It was like a constant like reworking, distilling the idea, which is part of the process.
Right.
Like you have to really like get so clear on what your talking points are. And it was so challenging.
It was so challenging. And also, like you said, it was an important part of the process. And in the end, looking back, very good for us to do, but it was painful because you'd think, we got it.
Yeah.
And it's probably like writing a book, right? And then the revisions come and revisions come. And then we started to sense in each other.
Well, I remember there was a moment and we're recording this in my office. And I remember sitting at my desk over there and I remember working on some of these edits because we were going to get together and meet and I wanted to make sure I had my part done. And I remember having a very strong feeling, and Kate, you know how I work, so I'm going to be vulnerable here. Like I definitely feel like I sort of get out of the way and I'm just a channel for ideas and words to come through me. It's sort of hard to explain, but it's like something larger, bigger comes through me, which isn't necessarily me. So I remember doing these edits and it's like I almost felt the wild woman archetype. And of course, an archetype, there are thousands of them. It's just like an energy pattern, essentially. And you and I have been in the depths of sort of working with this wild woman archetype for almost 2 years now. And it's like I felt her basically saying to me, this is impossible. You're trying to like, you know, like as I would, because I was so frustrated with the edits.
Yeah.
I couldn't get my words out. I couldn't figure out the angle. I couldn't, you know, and I do a lot of writing, but it was not flowing.
Easy. It's not easy.
And I felt this like wild woman archetype almost laughing, like mocking me. Like you think you're going to try to like put this in some kind of a format that makes sense. And I remember coming to you, but your answer made so much sense. And I'll tell you what I remember, but then you can like fill it in. You're like, I know, Betsy, but we have such an opportunity here. Like, we don't want to throw this opportunity away. This is like taking these ideas to a bigger level and being able to offer these ideas to a much larger crowd. And really, like, we don't want to turn down this opportunity to get this message out there. And I was like, she's right. Mm-hmm. She's right.
That was my masculine coming out.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, but both of us bought into it from the beginning. Here we are. We're like, we want to do a TED Talk. And then when we were given the opportunity, it felt like, oh, wow, we've made it. Like, this is an amazing experience. Who would turn down the opportunity to do a TED? So we both got caught up in that.
We did.
In that masculine, like, oh, this is going to be such a great jumping point for more opportunities, you know,
yes.
Which is a very like action-based Nothing wrong with it.
No.
Nothing wrong with that.
No. But you're right.
We're trying to talk about the wild feminine, and it was like, I don't know.
Well, and how many times on this podcast have we talked about get out of the boxes, get out of the restraints, you know, find this, your authenticity in a way that doesn't confine you based on what others believe you should be and be doing and how you should do it. And so this, our very message was the antithesis of a TED Talk, which is prescribed. They tell you, here's how much time you have, no more, no less. Here's the format you need to follow. Here's, you know, best TED Talks that they have all these guidelines.
It's like a 5-step. I remember there were like 5 steps, and there was like, we were trying to fit our ideas into, because being good students that we are, like, okay, here's the outline. Let's take this idea, and this would be in the 2nd step. But like, it didn't work.
It didn't work,
no matter how we tried to finesse the material. And that's why I feel like there was a bigger energy behind this that was like, ha, 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 you cute girls.
Yeah.
You think you're going to like box me and give me in a nice, neat TED Talk? Ha, I laughed you.
That's what it felt like. It did.
Yeah.
And as we both started sensing this and having conversations, and we even kind of toward this, you know, the end of the summer, our last task was to record it.
Mm-hmm. Which we did. We did it at your kitchen table. Yeah.
Came together.
I remember your dog was playing with some
dog toy
underneath us. And I was like,
damn it.
Shut up. We're recording.
Even that was not smooth.
Yeah. No, none of it was, right?
It really wasn't. Uh-uh. It really
wasn't. The flow was not there for us.
No. And the irony of the past year and a half together of saying, here's a topic, you know, let's get together on this. And we would put together these podcasts, which felt kind of
very in the flow
and very collaborative and creative. Like I felt like we could be so creative. And then all of a sudden this felt like an assignment that we were failing.
And you know what? That's such a good point. I think it on some level was somewhat triggering for both of us being these like straight A students. And we're like, we are failing at this. No matter what we send in, we always get red marks back about what we need to change.
Yeah.
And it was like, what are we doing wrong? Why isn't this working?
Yeah. So we fought it for a while. I mean,
yeah.
Over the summer, we continued to bump up against how we were feeling.
And we were such a counterbalance because
there'd be times
I would be like, I don't know, this isn't working. You'd be like, come on, hang in there. And then you would be down and I'd be like, I know, but we've come so far. We put so much time into it. Right. So we would be in opposite places at various times, which kept it moving.
And kept us at it. But then about a month out, something happened for both of us that I really believe in some ways was our bodies finally saying, what are you doing? Because we had a big retreat coming up. You know, we were going overseas. We had all these other things. And
we were still fighting with the TED wasn't ready. We were getting all these comments
back. We had to memorize it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it all felt.
And this is interesting. The wild woman archetype shows up in the body. Like that's such a part of it. Embodiment is so much a part of being in alignment with your wild woman, is like really listening to your body. And so for me, I had been having these continuous tests that were very unclear, medical tests that were very unclear. And I had gotten a medical test back, which by the way, I think it's so good and so bad that your tests come to you in an email and you can go in there and look at it.
Before anyone talks.
Yeah. So I didn't talk to the doctor, but I basically read the test wrong and was like, I have mono. Well, I didn't actually. But at the time I called you and I'm like, Kate, I think that I have mono. That's explaining some of my symptoms. And you had, what was going on for you?
Yeah. So that's when my heart issue came up. I went to a normal doctor's appointment. And they followed up with some things that were a little off in the spring and then said, we're doing an EKG and now we're doing a stress test and got a little issue with your heart. And I was cleared eventually. I mean, they found kind of what they thought was wrong. But
before you knew you were cleared and you were in the thick of like
testing.
Oh my gosh, is there something really wrong with my heart? I remember you came and saw me and you're like, I think we should pull out. Mm-hmm. And I looked at you and I was like, really? And you're like, yeah. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And I remember feeling like a rush of relief.
Oh, me too.
But then you kept feeling the relief because I remember I checked in with you like a day later. I'm like, are you still okay with it? And you're like, oh yeah, I'm good. Yeah. And I was waffling at that point. I was like, we have put literally hundreds of hours into this. We can just motor through. We got this. I can like put the gas on. We can get through this. I know we can do this.
Yeah.
Right. And so the fact that you then were like, oh no, right decision, not questioning it, feels right, gave me the encouragement to not be like, oh, just come on. I got this. We can do this.
So looking back, I feel like a lot of this is you and I being, we've talked about trying to bring our masculine and feminine together and being conscious of the importance of both. And it's almost like when you were heavier on one than I would.
Yeah.
It was this dance.
The beauty of a working relationship is this balance between the action, the doing, the go, as Michaela Boehm taught us, and the flow. One of us would be in flow and kind of questioning and doubting. The other one would be like, no, go, we're doing this. And then it would flip flop.
Yeah. But after my favorite part of the story is after our conversation where we decided it was time to surrender.
Yeah.
I feel like it was a surrender. I walked outside your office to my car. And as I'm crossing this little bridge, there's a praying mantis right on the railing. And I stopped and took a picture of it because it was such an unusual thing to see, first of all. And then it was literally right outside your office.
Mm.
And I think I sent it to you. And then we looked up what it meant. And it was definitely a sign that this is what we needed to do. So do you want to share what the praying mantis?
Well, I'll share what we kind of laughed about this morning, but what do you remember about the symbology of it? I mean, it's the praying mantis. It's sort of like the hands are together, this specific insect. And it's very much about empowerment, about strength.
And also the symbolism is stillness.
And stillness, still.
Which,
yes, because it waits in stillness with its hands in prayer, waiting for its prey to come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, for all those reasons, when I was reading about it, I'm like, that's like, she's delivering a message. Yeah.
And then this morning I said to you, well, don't you know what the praying mantis, the female mantis decapitates the man after they have sex? And you're like, what? So I also think that's beautifully symbolic that this powerful feminine sort of like cuts off the head of the masculine, the intellectualization. I mean, Ted is like this whole intellectualization of an idea, package it, articulate it, make it neat, give us the 5 points. And here we're talking about something so wild that like we literally had to cut the head off. Like rewilding is not a topic that can be covered or even really maybe this is it too, given the honor it deserves in a 10-minute TED.
Right.
Because it's so deep and it's messy. It's messy and there's chaos with it and there's emotion.
It's non-linear. And everything about what we were trying to fit into was a linear pattern and a structure and a format. And we just keep coming back to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it literally ended up being the antithesis of what our message was. And that's what finally gave me peace about it.
Mm.
I was like, this has not been aligned since the beginning.
Yes. That there's nothing wrong with our message.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with our message. And there's nothing wrong with Ted. Right.
Correct.
It's beautiful. I love Ted. I love TED Talks. I listen to them often. It was just that they were the coming together of these two things. It's almost like they were ends of the spectrum and they didn't meld well together. Like there's nothing wrong with our content. It just wasn't the right fit for Ted.
Yeah. So it was a beautiful experience.
And we learned a lot.
We learned a lot. It was a harrowing experience at times. It was frustrating.
It pushed both of us. It pushed our relationship.
Yep, it did.
You know?
It did. And it pushed the masculine and feminine, kind of this yin and yang that I tend to feel in myself. We felt it dynamically with each other and with this whole process. So I don't know that I would trade it. I think there were great lessons in this for us. And we wanted to share it with you.
When we made the decision, we're like, okay, Ted isn't the place for this talk. Like we, you know, just isn't the right space for what we're trying to convey, even if we can convey what we're trying to convey in 10 minutes. And what did your husband, Joe, say?
So I went home and told him that we decided to pull the plug. And he literally said to me, because this is more of a Theodora talk. You guys ought to be doing those.
You guys should create Theodora's talks. Yeah, Theodora talks.
No,
instead
no
of Ted,
rules,
right?
No, boxes, no... You know, yeah.
Right.
So it that struck both of us as, there are lots of ways to tell stories. And I think we also realized we've been telling stories on this platform.
Right.
Having other women tell stories. Like it launches you potentially into a bigger place, a bigger space, but that's
the masculine assumption that that's mm-hmm. good, right?
Yes.
That's good. Versus how do we not know telling stories in other ways? And it's not good or bad. It just is, it's different.
It's different.
So we're going to use this platform to give our Theodora talk.
Yes, we are.
And honestly, this all, us making this decision and deciding not to do the TED happened many months ago. And so we've actually put this away. Like it's been in the file drawer for about 3 months, 4 months now. Today's episode is supported by Dr. Yoga Mama. This is Dr. Betsy, and if you are interested in working with me in a deeper way, you can check out all the different offerings I have going on. Online courses, retreats around the world, weekly yoga classes, and my monthly Wisdom Wednesday, which is the first Wednesday of each month, where I talk about the intersection of yoga, psychology, mindfulness, and spirituality. You can find it all the information at www.dryogamama.com.
This episode is also being sponsored by Kate Moreland Coaching. If you have an interest in transformational coaching, either in an individual or group setting, please reach out to katemorelandcoaching.com. All right,
so here's our talk. Who were you before you lost your wild self?
I never considered myself wild. I was always a good girl, rule following, getting straight A's, people pleasing.
I was also a good girl and not one to push too many boundaries. But this all changed when my friend Kate and I ended up on a yoga retreat in Iceland, following lots of personal challenges during the pandemic.
I had just reached the top rung of the business ladder as a CEO when the pandemic hit. My goal was to lead with compassion and creativity through the global health and economic crisis. A year and a half into the pandemic, I began to feel physical symptoms of burnout. I was fatigued, languishing, and teetering on the edge of depression.
My work as a psychologist and yoga meditation teacher became sought out by many during the pandemic. I became a solid, steadfast presence in my online classes and in my therapy Zoom room. But all the while, I was managing my own pandemic anxiety, homeschooling my 3 school-aged children, and facing the reality of my crumbling marriage.
We imagined that this trip to Iceland would be a blessed reprieve, filled with rest and relaxation. Instead, it was wild and harsh. Wild landscapes, wild weather, wild emotions, and wild lessons that made us both realize our old ways of striving, perfection, and status quo were no longer working.
During those brief 7 days that we spent in Iceland, Mother Nature, in her very raw and wild form, reminded us of who we really are as humans. We experienced hiking in the driving wind and rain. We learned resilience.
We woke up to a blizzard that made travel impossible. We learned to embrace unpredictability.
We watched geysers and a volcano erupt. We learned the necessity of releasing our intense emotions.
We rode wild horses. We learned courage.
We chased the northern lights. We learned perseverance.
We talked to Icelanders about their belief in elves. We learned curiosity and wonder.
And on the final night, we experienced an earthquake. We learned life will definitely shake us up. It was all magical, otherworldly, profound. It felt like an initiation.
I spent the week stewing about my work and my inner desire for something different. A young girl named Una, the 5-year-old daughter of the retreat owner, kept teaching me lessons. As I watched her dance freely and abashedly use her voice, I couldn't help but think, I used to be like that. I thought about the power of these early years, and I wondered what she would be like as a grown woman. My children are nearly grown, and watching Una brought up motherly guilt that perhaps I may not have given my children enough space to be wild and free. On one of the final days, out of the blue, she gifted me a picture she had drawn. There was a line down the middle of the paper. On one side, it was empty, and the other side was full of hearts. The picture said it all. I needed to follow my heart.
As leader of the retreat, I spent the week attempting to create stability and calm in the midst of so many extremes. As a good girl turned responsible adult, I felt it was my job to create a positive experience for everyone. During dinner one night, I sat next to Andreas, the Swiss man who owned the retreat center we were attending in Iceland. I asked him why he left his home country of Switzerland with all its order and pristine beauty. Andreas told me that he had always been a seeker. While his home country was beautiful and very predictable, Iceland was more rugged, extreme, and yes, wild. He told me that Iceland is the ideal place for deep spiritual development and growth because it teaches you about the tension of opposites, the extremes of the light and the dark, and the beauty of accepting it all. That night at dinner, he looked me in the eyes and said, "It also teaches you how to surrender."
We left Iceland knowing we'd been initiated into this wild energy and that we both needed to surrender because major changes were coming. Our own rewilding had begun. The wild had offered us something raw and real that we hadn't been able to access in ourselves since we were young.
If you look up rewilding, it's been described as conservation biology. The purpose of rewilding is to restore land to its natural habitat for a more healthy and robust ecosystem. I realized that in Iceland, you can apply this concept to humans as well. We need to return to our natural state to thrive and live more healthy, robust lives.
My lesson with Una made me ask, who was I before I lost my wild self? I was adventurous and loved nature. I was strong and fearless and used my voice.
I was creative and sensitive. I felt deeply and was connected to my own body.
I lost my wild self around 7 when I started school and learned that good grades perfectly follow the rules. Eventually, I became a lawyer.
And I lost my wild self around the age of 5. I was told good girls stay quiet. I learned to listen and sit still in my chair. Ironically, I eventually became a psychologist. For both of us, our domestication away from our wild essence started very early. And we've discovered, unfortunately, that we're not alone. It seems most of us are not conscious of how smoothly we slide along these rails of social ordering until the wake-up call arrives.
Upon our return from Iceland, our own rewilding process prompted us to start a podcast called Tend Her Wild. We've interviewed over 50 women and asked them about the power of their first 10 years or who they were before they lost their wild self.
We've talked to women between the ages of 19 and 72. They are straight, trans, gay. They're women of color. They're mothers, daughters, executives, artists, authors, musicians, healers, celebrities, athletes, shamans, and spiritual teachers. Every one of them could articulate early messages and experiences that domesticated them and suppressed their inner wild.
Some of the messages that shut down these women's wild included, don't let it go to your head.
You are too much. Don't take up so much space.
Beauty is your value.
Avoid confrontation. Anger is bad.
It's your job to make everyone happy.
There's actually scientific evidence for why early messages become the foundation of how we see ourselves in the world. During a child's first 7 to 10 years of life, they spend the majority of time in alpha and theta brainwaves, which is essentially the same state a person is in when they're hypnotized or meditating. This means that for the first decade of our lives, we are being programmed by our environment, fully open to suggestion, which creates the automatic mindset, which then determines how we live the rest of our life. These early messages detach us from our wild instinctual self, which also happens to be the part of us that is wise, creative, and powerful.
What does it feel like when we are disconnected from our wild? We may feel depressed, anxious, hopeless, numbed out, as if we're just going through the motions and devoid of purpose and passion. We wonder if this disconnect might partially explain the current mental health crisis, the great resignation where unprecedented numbers of people have left their jobs, and why so many are questioning their life purpose.
Well, Kate's Icelandic lesson was remembering who she was before she lost her wild self. My Icelandic lesson was surrender to the wild messiness of life. Fully show up for the sideways rainstorms, the random geyser eruption of emotions, the blizzards that test your patience, as well as all the beauty, the magic, and the awe. This requires presence. Research on embodiment, or our capacity to stay fully present in our body, shows that when we do this, we have a greater capacity for emotional self-regulation, deeper access to our innate wisdom, and better decision-making.
The real integration of these rewilding lessons happened upon our return home. I left my CEO role and honored my connection to who I was before I lost my wild self. I tapped into my adventurous nature, started my own company, and today I use my innate gifts to coach others to connect to their authentic selves.
I chose to stay in my marriage. I am practicing my capacity to hold the tension of opposites, the challenge and the beauty of a long-term partnership. And together, we decided to start this podcast to educate and support women about rewilding.
We acknowledge not everyone can get to Iceland, nor could this small country welcome everyone in need of rewilding. But everyone can explore these three steps. Know yourself. Tap into the power of your first 10 years. Reflect on who you were and what you loved. Acknowledge the powerful experiences that impacted you, both good and bad. Remember who you were before you lost your wild.
Grow yourself. Surrender to the messiness and wild nature of life. Feel it all. Be present for it. Reclaim the parts of you that you might have lost along the way, and find the healing modalities that support your need to rewild.
Share yourself. As we said in the beginning, you were born with a unique thumbprint, and the world needs what you have. We heal this world by each of us showing up in our full, wild, instinctual power.
And as you figure out how to share yourself, in the words of Howard Thurman, don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive. Go do that, because what this world needs is people who have come wildly alive.
Thanks, Betsy.
Thanks, Kate.
Thanks for joining us today. If you like this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review. Come back and rewild with us again next week.